tried to resolve concerns immediately. National Labour Commission makes a raft of recommendations to Employment and Labour Relations Ministry as five more unions brace themselves to withdraw their services in the coming days.
Immediately, the minister must direct that the funds be released and paid to the fund managers. It must be addressed. They must be reversed. So these are the things that we have raised with them. We have looked at it. We have referred it to them so that they effect the correction and duly notify the commission.
We'll hear from the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission as the strike by five labor unions begin to bite. And also tonight, leader of Democracy Hub and Fix the Country protest, Oliver Barker-Vormawor, arrested by the police as day three of the Stop Galamsey protest lead to more arrest by the police.
This is the right of every citizen who has been arrested. Look at what they are doing to me right now. I am not doing anything. Look, you have eyes on me. I have done nothing. I have done nothing.
We have details as lawyers for protest defense say the police are refusing them access to the many protesters they have arrested in the course of the three-day protest. And in business, Ghana's major port and harbors likely to grind to a halt as freight forwarders and trade unions begin a protest against shipping lines over unfair practices. We have details. And travelers who use Kotoka International Airport to face increased scrutiny as authorities warn of severe penalties against persons found carrying unauthorized items in their luggage. Details of these and more coming up in the next 30 minutes. Now, the National Labour Commission has made a raft of recommendations to the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations as part of effort to avert a full-blown labour unrest. Five unions, including the Senior Staff Association of Public Universities, the Ghana Association of University Administrators, and 30 Education Workers Union and the Tertiary Education Workers Union, TEU, have already downed their tools protesting unresolved allowance issues. Adding to this wave of dissatisfaction is the colleges of Education Teachers Association of Ghana, CTAG, which is set to resume their strike next week just after ending the longest industrial action in their history, citing government's failure to honor the agreement. This brings the number to five more unions that have served notice to withdraw their services in the coming days. My colleague Kweku Asante joins me in the studio with more details. Now, Kweku, how many groups are either on strike or are planning to go on strike?
So currently we are looking at least 10 groups. Five are currently on strike and the other five are planning to go on strike.
Who are the five already on strike and what are the reasons?
So we have the National Commission for Civic Education staff who went on strike on the 18th of this month, demanding better working conditions and timely negotiations of the proposals by the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. The Senior Staff Association of the Universities of Ghana, who went on strike on the 16th of September, demanding improved conditions of service and fulfillment of promises made by the government during the previous negotiations. Again, we have the Teachers and Educational Workers Union, TEU, going on strike on the 20th of September, joining the Federation of Senior Staff Association of Ghana, who previously went on the September 18th. And lastly, the Ghana Association of University Administrators, who went on strike on the 18th of September over similar demands. As to the five who are planning to go, we have CTAC, who plan to go on strike at the end of September over conditions of service and the implementation of the NLC arbitrary award. We have also the Mortuary Workers Association of Ghana, who will be going on strike on the 26th of September over poor working conditions, unpaid salary arrears, and lack of adequate personal protective equipment. Now we have UTAC and organized labor who are threatening to go on strike at the end of September, demanding a total ban of all forms of small-scale mining and illegal mining to protect public health and environment. And then there are also indications that CLOSAG is also planning to go on strike.
So these are the details of the unions who are on strike and those who are going to go on strike. We can hear from Dr. Dominic Ozu, who speaks for CTAC, citing reasons for the intended action.
It's so surprising that government has gone back to sleep and there is no peace and dragging of feet with the implementation of the arbitral award. Mm-hmm. As I speak to you now, most of the agreements that was signed on the 19th of August have been violated. The timelines have not been heeded to, and it's so worrying that after a devastating strike that led to almost about 2 months of non-academic activity, two students dying and one student being caught after stealing several phones and beating as a result of the idleness of our students during the strike, and so many other repercussions that came out with the strike. The government have still not heeded to call. For now, our National Council are meeting on Wednesday after tomorrow's meeting with the government, and I'm sure a good decision on the strike will definitely happen. There will be, first of all, a sit-down strike,
okay.
And then subsequently, if our calls and our demands are not heeded to, then there will be a full-blown strike come next week.
Now, the Director of Grievances and Negotiations at Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Professor Charles Opong Adabo, says they are committed to resolving the grievances raised by the workers.
First, with respect to the CTAG issues, I think they had about 2 months strike, industrial action, you were aware. We got to the table with them to address their concerns. Largely, it was about extending the public universities allowances to tutors of the colleges of education. But before we could do that, we needed to conduct what we call the HR audit, of which DTEC, the regulator, did. Afterwards, we established those who qualify per the arbitration award. And so currently, the migration exercise is about coming to an end, which will then pave way for implementation. So those who qualify will then be giving the salaries due them.
The Executive Secretary of the National Labour Commission, Ofosu Asamoah, is asking the Employment and Labour Relations Ministry to, as a matter of urgency, resolve the concerns raised by the various groups, or it will be compelled to head to court.
Well, there are some that have come before the commission already, which has been determined, especially in the case of the Senior Staff Association. And there are some like that of TIN, where they claim that their monies have been deducted but have not been paid tier 2 pension fund for management. Well, if it is true that it has not been paid, then they are genuine raising concerns, but not to strike over it.
How about CLOCSAG?
Yeah, CLOCSAG has also got notice of a strike in respect of some of their members whose conditions of services were varied without, consulting them in the case of the TVET. I have duly drawn the attention of the Director General of TVET, who is currently out of the country but will be returning in 2 days' time. And I've conferred with the leadership of CLOCSAG that the commission is looking at it, so they should just hold on to any industrial action which they intend to resolve the problem.
Now, away from that, tonight, convener of Democracy Hub, organizers of the Fix the Country protest, Oliver Bakavomo, has been arrested and detained by the Ghana Police Service. Now, the police said on Sunday that it was on a manhunt for Mr. Vomo after he threw out the keys to a police vehicle that was towing away a truck containing water and other necessities for the protesters. Democracy Hub has been holding a 3-day protest since Saturday to demonstrate against the destruction being caused by Galamsey and also the general economic difficulties in the country. We have details of a police statement, but first, here is a report put together by my colleague Maxwell Agbaba, who has been covering the entire protest on the mass arrest recorded yesterday.
Scores of protesters gathered for day 2 of the Stop Galamsey demonstration. On the first day, the police stated that they approached with a de-escalation mentality. However, on the second day, it seemed the approach shifted to if persuasion fails, force is applied mentality.
Anybody who pushes this, of course, is arrest. Wallahi.
We're not here to find nobody.
If anybody thinks he's a man.
Listen to the Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Police Service, ACP Grace Ansa Akrufi.
We served a caution to the organizers. Police were going to do whatever it took to maintain the peace, ensure security, law and order.
And we are all involved. We are all
attempts by the protesters to demonstrate on the streets were foiled by the police, resulting in a scuffle and the arrest of some of them.
Raf is one of the organizers of this protest, a member of Democracy Hub. Wait, just for some clarity, have you been arrested by the police?
We have been arrested because this is an arrest. You ask the protesters to leave wherever you are asking them to leave. Now we organize them to move away from the road. We were on the side, which is the pavement, and now we've been asked by the authorities to follow the police.
Stop doing galamsey. Just stop galamsey for us. We want our mother Ghana back. Oh. We want it back.
It's beginning to get chaotic now. Personnel of the Ghana Police Service trying to arrest one of the protesters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 police officers. 9 police officers trying to drag one of the protesters away. His colleagues will join. Now he's down on the floor with some of the policemen. It's a big struggle.
At a press conference later, 62-year-old Democracy Hub member Na Adesua called for the release of those arrested.
Release all arrested protesters. The 15 individuals, including an 8-year-old child who was unlawfully arrested during the protest, must be released immediately.
The group is urging all concerned citizens, civil society organizations, and the international community to join in demanding justice, transparency, and humane treatment for all the protesters. Extract of a statement released by the Ghana Police Service says all the 42 people arrested, including some of the leaders of the group, are in custody and will be put before the court to face justice.
Well, my colleague Kwekwa Asante joins me in studio with a copy of the statement put out by the police on the arrest of Oliver Bakavomo Okweku. Does the statement say whether Oliver turned himself in or was found and arrested by the police?
So first, Brace, this morning there was a letter dispatched from lawyers of Oliver Bakavomo to the IGP. It reads, I bring you sincere compliments from the Committee of Partners. We are solicitors for Mr. Oliver Mawuse Bakavomawa, convener of the reoccupied Jilobi House protest, in respect of the public notice of September 22, which indicate that the police are on a manhunt to arrest him. Mr. Bakavomawa has instructed us to accompany him to submit to arrest. Therefore, we will be grateful if you will indicate to us which police station you may want him to report at. This is signed by Dr. Justice Shrem Squire Sai, who is a lawyer for Oliver Bakavomawa. But in the last few hours, the Ghana Police Service also put out a statement saying the Ghana Police Service has arrested Oliver Bakavomawa, one of the leaders of Democracy Hub, for the various unlawful acts he was involved in on Saturday 21st September and Sunday 22nd September at the 37 intersection in Accra. Signed, Grace Ansah Kofi, the Director of Public Affairs. Just that the statement does not say whether or not he submitted to arrest or the police found him and arrested him.
Now, in the last few hours also, we have been hearing from lawyers for protest defense who are seeking information from the police on the protesters arrested during the period of demonstrations.
Well, yes, this one also says, we are an assembly of lawyers who dedicate a part of our professional services to advising and representing protesters. Considering the various arrests which police have made, we will be grateful if you could provide us with the following particulars of information. A, a list of arrested or detained protesters. B, the police stations or detention facilities where the arrested protesters are detained. C, the courts before which the arrested protesters will be arraigned, and the dates and times at which the arrested protesters will be arraigned. And this was dispatched from lawyers for protest defense to the Inspector General of Police.
Now, we'll be speaking to Prince Gamaku shortly for an update on this. He is leader of the Lawyers for Protest Defense. But first, Maxwell Agbagba has been at the scenes of the protest the entire day and joins with latest on this. Maxwell, two of the protesters who showed up earlier were arrested. Did many more persons show up at the 10-7 intersection?
No. With the exception of the two who were arrested earlier today, we didn't have any demonstrators showing up here again. Many of them were deterred and kept away from this place because of yesterday's arrest, some of the random arrests that we saw yesterday. For some of the protesters who were even standing very close to the 37 bus terminal, ostensibly reconvening for another meeting or another protest, we were told very close to the Elwak Sports Stadium, they were arrested by the police. So many of them were very careful not to come very close to the 37 intersection where they gathered on Saturday and then Sunday. But something significant just happened. In the last 15 minutes, at exactly 6 p.m., the Ghana Police Service removed the barricades at a 37 runabout and the other key intersection to allow traffic flow. So during the protest on Saturday morning, you couldn't use the road in front of the Jubilee House, the Revolution Square. You couldn't use that stretch of road that passes in front of the 37 military hospital all the way to the 37 runabout. You couldn't use that road. But exactly 6 p.m., police removed the barricades, and now that stretch of road has been opened to traffic. They're still maintaining a presence here. A source I've been speaking to tells me that although they've removed the barricades and opened the road up to traffic, they will still keep a presence here. And the removal of the barricades is important because tomorrow is a working day. You know, the protest started on Saturday, which is a weekend when you do not expect a lot of vehicles, you know, on the road. But tomorrow is a working day, and it's expected that after the holiday break, okay, after the weekend, and then the holiday today, there's likely to be bumper to bumper traffic in town, and it's important for them to, you know, remove the barricades.
Okay.
Moreover, the protesters informed them that their protest was going to end at 11:59 p.m. today, but many of them have not been seen around here today. They've been kept up at bay by the presence of the police. So I'm told the police is confident that they will not return. That police will still maintain a presence here. Sometime around 4 p.m., the Inspector General himself, Dr. George Kupo Dampare, we saw him here on the ground in Mufti. He was shaking hands with some of the policemen who were deployed here, who have been working here since Saturday.
Okay.
Shook hands with quite a number of them, sat down, and then ate lunch with them before, you know, he left this place.
Okay, Maxwell, so, but has...
There are two scores of police personnel here.
Okay.
The barricades that have been removed, you know, still here. I'm told some trucks will come and pick them away.
Well,
now
well...
the free flow traffic... on the stretch of road in front of the Jubilee House, the seat of government, and the 37 military hospital base.
Maxwell, has the police spoken to the media today?
Well, they were shut out to speak to the media at exactly 3 p.m. today at the police emergency command center. Journalists trooped there with the hope that they'll be given an update on the situation, especially issues regarding bail for the 42, but now 44 protesters who have been arrested. The police updates that we've received, you know, has been silent on these protesters have been granted bail or not. But
okay,
we know that from the last updates from the Democracy Hub, they say that the protesters still remain in the custody of the Ghana Police Service.
Okay, that's Maxwell Agbagba with latest from the ground today. We've been joined by Prince Ganaku. He is part of Lawyers for Protest Defense. Grateful to you, Prince, for joining us. Now, you send a request to the police seeking information on all persons arrested. Have you received any response?
No, we haven't. Okay, no, let me rephrase. We haven't received an official response, but we have received informal responses from the Deputy Regional Commander of the police in Accra today, to the extent that if we are looking for the people, we should go and roam the whole of Accra. And if we find them, fine. If we don't find them, fine. As a matter of fact, we sent some of our lawyers to go around the various police stations. And when you go, you can clearly see the protesters there, and they tell you that, oh, there's nobody there. Or if in the best case scenario, where they are being very charitable, they will tell you that there's an order from above that they shouldn't, you know, let you access, you, the council, access the person who has been arrested and detained. There's an order from above that they shouldn't release the details of the person to you. And so you have a situation where council, we don't even know how many people have been arrested. We cannot say for certain how many people have been arrested. We don't know the names of everybody that has been arrested. We don't know where they have been taken to. And in addition to that letter, we actually also try to engage them and ask them, okay, fine, even if you won't tell us where the people are, you say you take them to court tomorrow. Tell us which court you are going to take them to so that we can come and mount a defense for them. Even that one, they said that they won't tell us. So you have a situation where the police is intentionally abusing the human rights of these persons. for no reason other than to punish them for having the audacity to demonstrate against the Galamsey menace that we are all facing in this country.
So I presume you've not been able to locate all the protesters and where they are and what's happening to them.
No, the police say that they arrested 42. In the hours after they said that they arrested 42, we saw on the internet that another four had been arrested. So now we know that there are 46. Well, we can estimate that about 46. Now, of that 46, we know the locations of a grand total of about anywhere between 13 to 15 people. We can say, okay, we know where Felicity is, we know where Delay is, we know where Ama Governor is. So those are the people that we can account for, 13 to 15. But the rest of the remaining number, 31 or so, we don't know where they are. We don't know who they are. The police will simply not give us that information intentionally.
So as lawyers, what do you intend to do tomorrow, or what's next?
Tomorrow we will have people stationed somewhere in Accra. We will have people monitoring the various police stations, so when we see where they are going, then we can hurriedly go and mount a defense and an application for bail for them. Because everything that the police is doing is as though they intend to keep them there by rough tactics. You know what I'm saying? And then, and when we ask them where they're going to take them to, they said they'll tell us tomorrow at 9 a.m. But we cannot trust the police. This is not our first rodeo. We weren't born yesterday. We're not going to wake up all of a sudden and start trusting Ghana police after everything that they have done this weekend. So we will expect that they call us in good faith and tell us where they are taking the people to, or we will just have to monitor them and then try and follow. We are also hearing that they intend to take them to police stations, all like their district courts all across the city, which would confirm to us that their intentions are in bad faith. And so far the what we have been learning is that it is an order coming from above.
Well, do you intend taking them on for what's happening?
It has to go without saying. It has to go without saying. But the manner in which we take them on also depends on the clients themselves. If the clients want to take them on human rights or on false imprisonment, then that's what we will do. But there is also a constitutional matter and a human rights matter also at play here. That for too long, the police have been using the guise of ex-party injunction applications, maybe 24 hours to demonstrations, in order to defang demonstrations. So we need the Supreme Court to come out and clarify the legal position on that.
All right. Grateful to you. So that's Prince Ganaku. He is one of the lawyers for Protest Defense who are defending the protesters for the current demonstration. Now, we also understand that the National Democratic Congress has been meeting with CSOs and other stakeholders to make a case for why their call for the EC to undertake an audit of the voters register for the 2024 is something that should happen. We understand Director of Elections of the NDC, Dr. Mane Boama, has been presenting the party's reasons that they believe the voters register should be audited by the Electoral Commission. My colleague Kenneth Jesse is at a stakeholder engagement and joins me live with more. Kenneth, what more do we know?
Well, the NDC is organizing this stakeholders engagement on the back of the massive demonstration they held somewhere last week, calling for the Electoral Commission to audit the voter register. And then they've been presenting their evidence to the media. They say that as of the 6th of September, more than 15,000 voters were unidentifiable. Their transfer paths were not identifiable. They also mention about corrupt files. They say that there are a lot of names on the voter register which have no names, no photos of affected voters. And then they've also been speaking about the fact that more than 2,000 voters transferred to different polling stations but do not exist in the absent voter list. And they say that the only people that can intervene at this particular moment has to be the UNDP, because they trust their independence and they trust that they'll do a beautiful job. And they say that they are never going to trust the Electoral Commission as they continue to reiterate, and then they are demanding for forensic audit of the voter registration, the voter register, among many others. So the meeting is currently ongoing. The director of elections of the opposition NDC, Dr. Omane Boama, is still engaging the press, and any other fallout from this current engagement, we give to our listeners in subsequent bulletin.
Grateful to you, Kenneth Jesse there. Let's now do business, and business on News Tonight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. Now, more than Bank of Ghana has signaled its intention to take some tough actions against banks and other financial institutions that are not complying with the credit reference bureaus. This caution was captured in the annual credit reporting data for 2023. George Wiafe has a rest of the story.
Under the country's credit reporting laws, all financial institutions, including commercial banks, are supposed to submit data on their good and bad clients with the credit reference bureaus. However, it appears some of these institutions are not complying with the law in terms of sharing this data with the credit reference bureaus in the country. The Bank of Ghana first had this challenge with the commercial banks as they didn't want to share information on their good clients with the bureaus, fearing that other commercial banks would go after them. But it appears this challenge has moved to other financial institutions like the microfinance and rural banks. This has resulted in a total of 16 microfinance institutions and 6 rural and community banks cautioned by the Bank of Ghana for failing to subscribe to the services of the credit reference bureaus, or let's say submit data to these institutions. The annual credit reporting data also show that the workings of these bureaus are helping to improve credit extension to businesses and individuals in the country. However, its prime aim of reducing the cost of credit is yet to be achieved years after the law was passed and the credit reference bureau started working in the country. The report has also shown that more institutions in Ghana are now turning to these credit reference bureaus to try and get information on individuals and businesses in terms of establishing their credit worthiness.
Away from that, the Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders and allied trade bodies have expressed resentment against some practices by shipping lines. The protest is fueled by a number of grievances, including what they describe as exploitative pricing by shipping lines, arbitrary fees and imposition of demurrage charges, even on weekends and public holidays. They are calling on the Ministry of Transport to intervene to ensure fair trade practices at the ports. Some of the freight forwarders have been speaking to Joy Business.
Contract of service that is signed at the port of origin is always CYCY, that is from container yard to container yard. So if I release my container with the shipping line and you take it to the container yard, which is the terminal, after I have unstored my containers, you slap me with another amount to pay. This actually adds to the cost, and we are also saying they should scrap this because it is not our cost.
When one ships a car, you take delivery of the car last week, the quotation you give to the fellow definitely change for this week because the rate is not the same.
If the port is working 24/7, if customs is working 24/7, all the other agencies are working 24/7, there should be no reason why the shipping lines are not working 24/7.
So I'm calling on the transport minister to look into all these fees that are charged by the shipping lines.
Well, that's it for business. Away from that, the Ghana Airport Company is advising travelers to stop parking batteries in their luggage as it breaches civil aviation regulations. The authority has announced that any such items will be confiscated with owners referred for investigation. This new directive, outlined in a statement, comes after a battery had exploded in a passenger's luggage at the airport on Sunday, September 22, 2024. We'll delve into the details of the statement, but first, my colleague Carlos Caloni joins me in studio with exactly what the eyewitness has been saying. Carlos, what do we know? Do we know where exactly the eyewitness has been traveling to, and what did he say?
Indeed, so the eyewitness was actually traveling to the US, and he said, and I quote, "I was in the queue about to check in on Emirates, and I saw people running from the immigration area. So I asked the attendant, and she said there is fire. So we all started running outside, and they opened all the gates. So later on, I asked one of the immigration ladies if it was real or a drill, and she said it was real. that someone's battery or so exploded. So according to him, fire service and ambulance and other emergency services came in around 20 minutes after the place had been cleared.
Mm. And soon after, the Ghana Airport Company issued a statement on the incident. What have they been saying?
Indeed. So the Ghana Airport Company issued a statement on the 22nd of September. And it says, management of the Ghana Airport Company Limited, GACL, wishes to confirm that on Sunday, September 2024, at approximately 3:27 p.m., a passenger's luggage was detected to be emitting smoke at the baggage wrap area at the departure hall, Terminal 3, Kotoka International Airport. It goes on to say the operations room of Aviation Security Department was immediately alerted and the luggage in question was swiftly isolated. Passengers in the terminal at the time were quickly evacuated in line with GACL's emergency operations procedure. And it goes on to say that the passenger has been handed over to the National Investigations Bureau, the NIB, for interrogation. Passengers are advised not to travel with batteries as this is against international civil aviation regulations. Any detection of batteries or any other prohibited items or substances in luggage will be confiscated and the passenger handed over to the authorities for processing. And it concludes by saying management wishes to thank passengers who were in the departure hall at the time of the incident for the cooperation during the evacuation process.
Mm. All right, and that's it for the news night today. There's more on myjoyonline.com. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Good evening.